The following podcast is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Any unauthorized distribution, presentation, or duplication may result in civil liability, criminal prosecution, and the wrath of the tall man. And I think I nailed my intro in about 3 takes this time. So, hey, I'm getting better without my laptop. But we're working on that. Just the argument of whether or not to just waste all the Best Buy credit on a new MacBook or buy, you know, one Windows computer and wait for that to die, I suppose. But I digress. So, usually this is a Rewind Wednesday when it comes to the cycle of the podcast. But, you know, without that laptop to pull up all the old stuff, I suppose we gotta actually watch a movie this week. And it was kind of difficult trying to pick one because the prior week I did a Jason Statham movie. It's kind of a bonus, you know, since the Fast and the Furious franchise fits for the podcast. And I don't really want to make, well, right now with how the podcast is going, I don't think I want to necessarily offer a Statham month or a Statham week. Not to say that he doesn't deserve it. But this would really let me reevaluate some of my Statham choices. I can't really say I've seen too many bad movies from this guy. I would say War. So he doesn't work well with Jet Li. But then again, you have two and a half good Expendables movies. So I can't say that's it. And there's a lot of charm to the movie One, where Jet Li is a criminal trying to gain all the power in the universe, essentially, by going to different dimensions and killing off other versions of himself. It's a silly premise. Jason Statham's, that's kind of the first time I thought I saw Jason Statham as an action star, and I didn't really see it then, honestly, because, you know, his prior two movies of note, Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch, were just Guy Ritchie comedies, essentially. And I still got a lot of his Guy Ritchie stuff to watch. But he's definitely got a action filmography. I'm not going to watch The Meg anytime soon. Or The Meg 2. That seems a little on the silly side. And with that said, I think we got a pretty much, what if Jason Statham was John Wick? And this is what The Beekeeper is. It's from this year, 2024. And, yeah, it's a pretty solid action film that, if you round down, it fits 90 for Chill the podcast, according to the 12 parsec rule, or the Kessel Run rule, as Han Solo told Chewbacca when Chewie questioned him making the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. It's all about rounding down. So what The Beekeeper basically did to me, though, is realize this is kind of a Ghostbusters 2016 versus Ghostbusters Afterlife situation. I liked Expendables 4 enough, I suppose. I didn't regret watching it. And I think there's some charming elements, perchance. But, okay, so that movie is basically Jason Statham on a revenge mission, and maybe he has to save the other Expendables. This movie is just straight up revenge, and you find the humor more in the fact about, gosh, you really, how incompetent are people that a guy can go John Wick on everyone with, you know, no real secrets behind it. And the no real secrets behind it is probably because it's a Kurt Wimmer script. He's responsible for movies like, at least he's penned a lot of movies, and I really don't think there have ever been strong scripts. Clever, perchance, but strong, never. And the movies he's directed, Equilibrium, I think is one very overrated film that some people seem to really get behind, that Matrix knockoff. I mean, the only thing good about it is they kill Sean Bean. That's just usually a good move. Then you'd have his next movie was Ultraviolet, which Geesh, I know Paul W.S. Anderson really likes to highlight his wife. I would wonder what Kurt's trying to do, PWS, with how he was shooting her. Hopefully, it was a vanity project on her behalf, the wife being Mila Jovovich. So that's not great groundwork, but this is a Statham-produced film, essentially. And he's got David Ayer directing. Can't really say I've seen enough David Ayer movies. I am an apologist for Suicide Squad from 2016, but yeah, there's an Ayer cut we really need. So I mean, that's at least credit to him. Like, oh, he could definitely could have done better than what Warner Brothers allowed him to do. So the film, The Beekeeper, is about Jason Statham, who is just a guy living in a barn on the property of Felicia Rashad, who is a lifelong educator. She runs a charity that's got $2 million, but then she gets hit with some ransomware, follows all the prompts, gets guilt tripped into surrendering her password, and hence she's broken in a matter of seconds, and she puts a bullet in her head. So what Jason Statham is, or was, he's retired, was a beekeeper, an organization underneath the U that's part of the United States government, but basically, it is supposed to be the absolute authority in right and wrong, i.e., it protects the hive. And if you're not strong enough to help the hive, or if you try to destroy the hive, he will go and set things straight. You find a lot of great, I think it's entomology, stuff about bees in this feature. And it becomes a bit of a cat and mouse. So, Jason Statham wants to set things right, wants to make sure the elderly will not get scammed. So, he starts from the beginning and eventually is set on killing PETA from the Hunger Games, Josh Hutcherson. And it's up to his stepfather, Jeremy Irons, who I think does his best to try his. If you've seen Die Hard with a Vengeance, his American accent. It's kind of not necessarily British. I will say that much about it. So his stepfather is trying to protect Josh Hutcherson as he climbs up and destroys every corporate entity that is responsible for data mining. And of course, Josh Hutcherson's mother is the president of the United States of America. And there's secrets behind that. And alongside this, you have the daughter of Rashad, who, well, loves that the bad guys are being taken down, but she's an FBI agent, so can she really allow this to happen, regardless if it's right? So it's a question of justice versus law. I'm kind of on the law side, I hate to say it. It's just really like justice is something that we can't decide as humans. Like, we have to make sure bad people get punished, yes, but for somebody, it's never going to be enough when it comes to dispersing justice. You just have to have faith that we are trying to correct society. But, you know, hey, as long as you give the guys needing justice or the law, as long as you put a gun in their hand, they're fair play, in my opinion. And that's something I do admire about this. Unlike John Wick, who, you know, just kills every mother lover in the room to get to his job, unless he's got respect for you. He does his best to limit the damage to those who are working directly for the corrupt. So, hey, if you're a Secret Service agent trying to protect the president, you're fine. If you're a mercenary hired by the president to protect the son, and sorry if I gave that twist away, I think I've already may have mentioned that Josh Hutcherson is the son of the President of the United States in this feature. And even with this, this is kind of like, gives you kind of a vibe that, and I don't think that's what they're going for, because the president seems pretty legit, but essentially, what if it was Don Jr. who was pulling the strings? So, I have my own thoughts on the president and what I would love to see happen to him for the good of the nation. But imagine what I'd love to see happen to those little twats beneath him. All right, so we've gotten political, and I'm sorry, but I think that is part of the message, is like, we run a society that allows people to prey on the weak, and that's not right. Like, you can have bees that kill the queen for the sake of a better hive, but hey, it's not the, you know, you can't just go and kill those underneath because they're weak, I suppose. A lot of mixed messages, I suppose. But this is a lot of fun. As I say, the action's solid, believable, which is something Wimmer could not direct, but Ayers does well. And since this is not a DCEU movie, you actually get to see the action for the most part. I mean, there's some more in the details, because it's very, very simple. He's Jason Statham's there just to kick ass. So you don't get really too many ultra-gory scenes. Honestly, you could have probably cut the language down a little bit. Maybe not sever some fingers. Some creative kills. Nothing, as they say, not a lot of bloodshed. You know, a limb might be show up here or there type stuff. But, no, you have a killer you just can't... in Jason Statham, that if you're a good person, you just can't kill them, I guess is the message of this feature. So... if you know, so again, mixed messages. Like, well, if you know they're right, let them do what they do. And essentially, I don't know, it's all about arguments, morality-wise, is all about when do you become a god? And, well, sequel opportunities are there. So you might get at least two more movies. I've made decent bank at the box office. And as I said, this is really kind of makes me think, well, why did we even need Expendables 4 if Jason Statham's just going to kick so much more ass in The Beekeeper? And not a lot of CG needed for this movie, unlike Expendables 4. Basically, it does everything that... well, it's a serious movie. It's not necessarily a B movie. It's a very straightforward, simple plot like a B movie, but it doesn't really go out to celebrate, like, hey, this is camp for the sake of camp, which Expendables 4 kind of really missed out on by making it a Jason Statham movie. And, this movie is just like, no, it's just about kicking ass. And, you know, as long as the character is different enough from your John Wick, I think it's was definitely worth my time, definitely worth my $10 on iTunes. And I imagine, give it a month, it's probably going to be on Amazon Prime, since Amazon owns MGM, or if it's on an Amazon, it's going to be on Paramount Plus, since Paramount owns Miramax. So it's going to be a lot of chances to see this movie, and I would recommend it to any action star, any fan of Statham. And hey, just as little perks, you got Jeremy Irons, you got Minnie Driver in a cameo. It kind of fits everything. It's funny because this is another film, again, Expendables 4. Come on, Jason, you could have said no to that script. But you can't expect a British person not to work. So, I mean, you have Jason Statham, you have a Redgrave in this feature, you got Minnie Driver, you got Jeremy Irons. You know, Irons may have built another castle because of this. So, at least this time he may have earned it, unlike Dungeons and Dragons 2000. So, yeah, I would say watch The Beekeeper when you get a chance. Otherwise, I'm going to be at C2E2 this weekend, so I'll be probably dropping daily podcast on Friday and Saturday, conclude it on Wednesday. I mean, C2E2 doesn't run that long, but you know what I'm saying there. Just give you this episode on about it on Monday, on Wednesday, hopefully get a little conversation with the Poetic Critic as we go up there. Otherwise, it's going to be anime this month. So after C2E2, I want to talk Japanese animation. And I've got plenty of ways to make that work if you like, oh, I got this TV show. Or, you know, long movies, what have you. But let's talk Japanese animation. Let's talk anime for May. Or anime. So we got the puns out of the way. So preferably, though, let's try to focus on stuff under 100 minutes, and if you want to help me out with that, send an email to rustthebus07@gmail.com. That's RustTheBus07@gmail.com. Offer me a movie, theme, director. We're not really going to go into actors for anime. I mean, I got my ADV film guys from the 90s. I like to, do my... Rick Dalton pointing at the screen meme too. But yeah, theme, director, movie. Like, I'd love to talk some Satoshi Kon. Most of his movies qualify. And we're talking Perfect Blue there. Otherwise, rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps. 5 stars for the numbers. Honesty in the reviews. Thank you. And I guess follow me on Twitter at CapBusRuss. Follow me on Blue Sky. That should be our priority, people. Well, I still like Mastodon at Mastodon. Oh, sorry. So I'll run them down. When it comes to Blue Sky, it's at CapBusRuss.BlueSky.Social. I'm sorry. At CapBusRuss.BSky. .social, I believe. And when it comes to Mastodon, it's at RussStevens@Mastodon.social. They're longer, but they're far better platforms. You don't really have to have advertisements, at least on Blue Sky, because some twat gave that guy $44 billion to create that platform. So until the money runs out, I'd say Blue Sky might be the place to be if you're a little more techie like myself. Mastodon's for you. So enough of that. Ava's been a great kitty today. I left her for the weekend for my wrestling trip, which really, really ended up just being one show and me trying to party like Peoria 2007. And yeah, not the place for those tales, but hey, I got out of there alive, and I thank Stacia Marie Harden for keeping an eye on me. It's going to be her birthday on May 4th, so there are few things that are more important than Star Wars, and I think her memory might be that. So I know she helps me out all the time, and I'm pretty sure she does that for everybody else she touched in her life. And in the meantime, I hope Skimble Shanks has given her plenty of great conversation, the one-eared angel. And I hope she's cuddling the ever-loving ectoplasm out of him. I mean, there was no more cuddly a cat. Sorry, Ava. But, I mean, you're a creature. He was just a rag doll. I love you, Skim. I love you, Stacia. I love you, Ava. And I love my listeners. Thanks for all the support. And thanks for coming to 90 for Chill, the podcast. Can I get a wahoo?